السلام عليكم يا شيخ.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أبا عبد الرحمن، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ. نعم.
إنا الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book on these days is Al-Kaba'ir, كتاب الكبائر، by الإمام الذهبي رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن أحمد رحمه الله. We are on الكبيرة الثانية, the second major sin that he mentioned in his book الكبائر. And as we say repeatedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us in the Quran. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, if you avoid the kaba'ir, from the things that we have prohibited you against, we have prohibited you from some things. Some of them are kaba'ir, some of them are lesser than that, but I have prohibited you all of them. These ones that are kaba'ir, from amongst them, if you avoid them, if you keep away from al-kaba'ir, نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, I will atone, I will forgive your sayyi'at. Those other ones from the things that I have prohibited you that are not kaba'ir, the sayyi'at, I will forgive you sayyi'at if you abstain from al-kaba'ir. إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ, I will forgive you your smaller ones, your sayyi'at, the sins that you have that are different from al-kaba'ir, I will forgive you. وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا, and I will enter you honorably into a place of honor. نُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا, I will enter you honorably in a honored manner. مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا, into a place of honor, which is Al-Jannah. So from the means of seeking Al-Jannah is to avoid Al-Kaba'ir. Someone asks us, why are you learning Al-Kaba'ir? We want two things from them. The first one, تَكْفِيرُ الذُّنُوب, تَكْفِيرُ السَّيِّئَات, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive us our sayyi'at. And then dukhulul jannah, we want Allah to put us, make us to enter al-jannah if we avoid al-kaba'ir. So if you don't know al-kaba'ir, what would you avoid? The scholars say, kayfa yattaqi man la yadri ma yattaqi, kayfa yattaqi, how will somebody who does not know what to avoid, how will he avoid? He does not know what to avoid. He does not know kabai. So how will he avoid kabai? So it means it's necessary for us to study al-kabai. One more thing about al-kabai connected to Ramadan is that the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, it is Ramadan ila Ramadan ko. From one Ramadan to another Ramadan, we get takfir al-zunub. It says, مُكَفِّرَةٌ لِمَا بَيْنَهُنَّ, you get your sins forgiven. The sins in between one Ramadan to another Ramadan, one Salat to another Salat, one Jumu'ah to another Jumu'ah. The sins become forgiven in between. But the Prophet gave a condition. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Majtuni batil kaba'ir. As long as you avoid the kaba'ir. In another wording of that hadith, it says, alayhi salatu wasalam, Majtana bal kaba'ir. As long as the individual avoids al-kaba'ir. And yet another expression of that hadith, he said, Ma lam tubshal kaba'ir. As long as the person does not come upon the kaba'ir. So kaba'ir is very, very necessary for us to avoid. If you don't avoid kaba'ir, there is no way your Ramadan can become mukaffira or mukaffir for your sayyi'at. There is no way one Ramadan to another Ramadan will become forgiveness of sin for you. Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. You must avoid kaba'ir. So you see, it is very necessary to avoid kaba'ir. More so in the month of Ramadan, we are always upon at-tawbah, at-tawbah, at-tawbah. And a person cannot get away from the hook of kaba'ir if he falls into any one of them, except with at-tawbah. So meaning that if we know what kaba'ir are, we can employ Ramadan as the period for tawbah. And then when we avoid kaba'ir, it will help us to gain takfir, you know, forgiveness of sins in the month of Ramadan. Now, before Ramadan, we had started reading Kitab al-Kaba'ir by Al-Imam al-Zahabi. And the only kabira we have studied and completed is ash-shirku billah, joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have read the verses on it. We have read the ahadith on it. That ash-shirku billah, joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is from the kaba'ir. And waman yushrik billah, anybody who does it, anybody who joins partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us that anyone who joins partners with him, faqad harramallahu alayhi al-jannah wa ma'awahu an-nar. Haram Allahu alayhi al-jannah. Allah has made al-jannah to be forbidden for him. Wa ma'awahu an-nar. The place he will finally end up is Jahannam. May Allah predict that from us. So we all have a duty to abstain from al-kabira to al-ula, which is what ash-shirku billah. The second kabira we are upon is qatlun nafs, killing a soul. It's a very, very big sin before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said to us, and Al-Imam al-Zahabi mentioned it as the first verse under the chapter Al-Kabira to Thaniya, that Allah said, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. مَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. Anyone who deliberately takes the life of a Muslim, a person of Iman, another person deliberately takes his life. Allah said, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. The reward for that person, that which that person will be returned as recompense, is Jahannam. The person who kills a Muslim, who takes the life of a person of Iman deliberately, Allah said, فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ. His reward for killing a Muslim deliberately is Jahannam. خَالِدًا فِيهَا. This person will stay for a very, very long time inside Jahannam. May Allah protect us. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah will be angry with him. He will be under Allah's anger. That is the second evil. Wala'anahu. He will be far away from the mercy of Allah. Because that is the meaning of Allah's la'an be upon him. May Allah protect us. The fourth one. Wa'a'adda lahu 'adhaban 'azima. Allah has prepared for him azaban azima, a very huge punishment. Why? Qatala mu'minan muta'ammidan. He deliberately took the life of a mu'min. So you can see how dangerous it is for a person to take the life of a mu'min. When we came to point number 8, hadith number 8 on this, we read the Prophet sallallahu saying that ijtanibu as-sab' al-mubiqat, avoid the seven destructive sins. Fadhakara qatla an-nafs allati harrama Allah, from the seven sins that are mubiqat. The meaning of mubiqat are what? Muhlikat, sins that destroy those persons who commit them. So just like ash-shirku billah, qatlu nafs is the second one. It is a very destructive sin. Anyone who takes the life of a person, he is destroying his own dunya and he is destroying his akhirah. May Allah protect us from this. We have also read hadith number 9, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, when he was close to the Prophet, alone with him, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, bi abi wa ummi anta ya Rasulallah, I sacrifice, I give my mother and my father in sacrifice to you. He was saying this to directly call the attention of the Prophet Muhammad and really, really show that he, Ibn Mas'ud, was ready to listen to that instruction about what he wanted to ask from the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Mas'ud asked the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, ayyu dhanbi a'zamu inda Allah? Ayyu dhanbi a'zamu inda Allah? Which one of the sins, ayyu dhanb, which one of the violations, which one of the iniquities is a'zamu inda Allah, greatest, worst, most severe in the sight of Allah? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an answer to that question that an taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka. The worst sin in the sight of Allah is that an taj'ala lillahi niddan, that you set up an equal nidd, you set up an equal nidd, you set up an associate, someone like another person. You set up someone like Allah. Why is it like? Because it is that worship should be directed to Allah alone. So if you direct worship to any other than Allah, ja'altahu lillahi niddan, you have set up that person as if that person is equal with Allah. When it is Allah alone that should have worship, you now behave, you pretend, you claim that that kind of a person or that kind of a thing or system or individual would also be a god, a deity deserving worship together with Allah. Wahuwa khalaqaka. You are doing that when it is that it was Allah who created you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the worst thing in the law. Ibn Mas'ud asked the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, ayyu dhanbi a'zamu inda Allah, said alayhi salatu wasalam, an taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka, The worst sin is for you to set up an equal with Allah when it was Allah alone. Allah alone created you. Look at what question Allah asks in the Quran. Afa man yakhluqu kaman la yakhluq? Can the one who created all things and creates, can he be compared to the one who never created? Show us anything people worship apart from Allah. What have they created? Aruni. Show us what have they created? All those things people worship apart from Allah. Oshoshobo, okay, Bada, Tango, Yemaja, all of these and other things in other parts of the world people set up as partners with Allahu Ar-Rahman. What have they created? We have not created anything. When it was Allah who created, why should you join partners with Allah, who was alone in making creation? So that is the worst sin, because it is the worst injustice. It is dhulm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qal Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, Qultu lahu inna dhalika al-azim. I said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna dhalika al-azim, that is really, truly serious, O Messenger of Allah, ashirku billah. Then he says, summa ayyu. Then Messenger of Allah, after shirk, which sin is worse before Allah? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, responding to that question from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abdurrahman, he said, "An taqtula waladaka khashyaka an yat'ama ma'ak." An taqtula waladak, the next most serious sin in the Allah, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that an taqtula waladak, for you to take the life of your child. Today people take the life of their children. They are born in the earlier times, in the days of Jahiliyyah, they bury their girls alive. And Allah told us in At-Takwir that wa ibal mawudatu su'ilat bi ayyi dhanbin utilat al-mawuda, the young innocent girl that is buried alive, su'ilat, she will be asked, what was your sin? She will be asked in front of the person who buried her alive, what was your sin that this man buried you alive? And because the children did not commit any sin, the scholars say this is mimbabi at-tabkit wa at-tawbikh wal iskat lil fa'il. The person who did it, he will keep quiet. He will don't want to hear anything from you. You are a criminal. This innocent young girl alive. Allah gave the girl to you. You buried her alive. So Allah will not ask that person who did him evil. He will ask the person, the child who was buried. Why? So that the one who did it will be feeling ashamed that they didn't even talk to me. You'll be feeling disgraced. You'll be feeling insulted. So some of the people in our own times still do that. They do that in the name of abortion. They abort pregnancies from the first day, from 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, 9 months. There is no time people don't abort pregnancies. When I was younger in the university, a girl in the hostel gave birth to a baby and threw the baby in the dustbin. This one happens a lot, especially during youth service. You also hear this in NYSC camps. A girl, a core member, would deliver a baby and throw the baby in the dustbin. Allah will ask you about all of them on the day of Qiyamah. That is the second most grievous sin in the sight of Allah. And talk to Lawaladak for you to kill your child, male or female. Why do you do that? Khashyata an yat'ama ma'ak. Because you are afraid that that child will eat your food, will share your food with you. I know a brother and a sister, ikhwa, a brother and a sister. I did not say a girl and a boy. They said the two of them agreed to marry. And that when they marry, they agreed that they will not have a child. Khashyata an yat'ama ma'ahum awladuhum. Because they are afraid that they may not have the finances, the money to take care of their children. So they agreed at the time of marriage not to have children because they are afraid to take care of these children. But Allahu Rabbul Ibad wa Rabbul Alameen, He had assured us in the Quran and He had prohibited this kind of a lifestyle. He said, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ يعني مِنْ الْفَقْرِ. You are already in poverty. Don't let the fact that you are a poor man, don't let it make you kill your child in abortion. Don't let it make you throw away your child you deliver in a dustbin. مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ. Don't kill your children because of poverty. Elsewhere he says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ خَشْيَةَ إِمْلَاقٍ. This second one, you are just afraid that if you have children, it can lead you to poverty. Whether you are already in poverty, where you are in plenty now, afraid of poverty, لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ. Do not kill your children. Allah said, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. Elsewhere, I said, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ. But you, the parents, you, the father, you, the mother, I am the one who provide for you, and I am the one who provide for the children. فَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So stop killing your children. Start killing yourselves. Taking the life is a big sin, and the sight of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seen before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thumma ayu, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked again in that hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. Then he was asked alayhi salatu wa sallam, thumma ayu, after killing the children out of fear of poverty, or because you're already poor, you are afraid, and yet I'm a mark, that your child should share your food with you. Which other sin is worse? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, antuzaniya halila tajarik, that you commit zina with halila, a woman who is only lawful. Halilatu jarik, the one woman who is only lawful to your neighbor. The one who is only lawful to a man is the wife of a man. So that's why the wife of a man is called his halila, as it is clear in this hadith. You commit zina, may Allah protect all of us, with the wife of your neighbor. Two great evils or more. The first evil is the zina itself. May Allah protect us. The second evil is that you are causing harm to your neighbor. And that itself is haram. But the point of reference in this hadith, why it is under this chapter heading, is that the second worst, the second most grievous sin is qatlun nafs, taking the life of a person, taking the life of your child, before the child was born or after the child was born. It's a big sin before Allah. May Allah protect us. The hadith of Ibn Mas'ud we just read, it occurred in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih al-Muslim. In hadith number 10, in Kitab al-Kaba'ir by Al-Imam al-Zahabi under Al-Kabirat al-Thaniya. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said, وقال, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam also said, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ When two Muslims meet themselves face to face, بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا with their swords, one Muslim having a sword in front with another Muslim with a sword. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ القاتل في النار والمقتول في النار القاتل the one who kills the other one في النار he will be in the fire this makes us understand that it is from kaba'ir kaba'ir are those things that when you leave it Allah will put you in al-jannah so if there is a sin that when you commit it you'll be in jahannam it means that thing is kaba'ir That thing is kabira min al-kaba'ir, deserving for you to abandon them. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا الْتَقَى الْمُسْلِمَانِ بِسَيْفَيْهِمَا When two Muslims face themselves with their weapons, take it for a gun, take it for a dagger, take it for broken bottles. Two Muslims face themselves with broken bottles. Two Muslims face themselves with two daggers. Two Muslims face themselves with two guns. فَالْقَاتِلُ وَالْمَقْتُولُ فِي النَّارِ The one, Al-Qatilu, who kills the second one in that field, وَالْمَقْتُولُ And the one who was killed in that field, فِي النَّارِ The two of them will be in Jahannam. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ It was said, O Messenger of Allah, هَذَا الْقَاتِلُ This is regarding the qatil. We understand if you say the person who killed yakunu finna or yakunu min ahlina, he will be in the fire or he will be from the people of the fire. I said min ahlina because that was the warning that the second child of Adam gave to his brother. Be careful so that you don't kill me. Fatakuna min ashabin nar. So that you don't be from the people of the fire. May Allah protect us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, we understand if a person killed one person, how about the one who was killed? فَمَا بَالُ الْمَقْتُولِ The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيصًا عَلَىٰ قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ Harisan ala qatli sahibihi. He was also making hirs. He was also making efforts to kill the other person. It just happened that he was the one who was killed. So the one who killed committed the offense. The one who was killed was to also commit the offense, except that he was overrun. He had the intention. He obtained the weapon, he made the move, he made the effort, so he committed the sin already. So the two of them finna, meaning that we must be careful as Muslims. Make sure that you don't become from those who face your brother with a weapon. Don't face a Muslim with a weapon, because it is from the way of the people of the fire, and it is a major sin in the sight of Allah. If you happen to kill him, you will be in Jahannam. And if it happens that you made a mistake and he kills you, you will be in Jahannam. So Qatlu Nafs, taking in the life of a person is haram, 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 ikhwa, kabira min al-kabair. Abstain from it. Abstain, run away from this. Taking the life of a person is a very, very serious offense. Taking the life of a person is a very, very serious offense. Ikhwa, if one person takes the life of another person, there are issues that when you do them, Allah forgives you. If you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. As for qatlu nafs, na'am, Allah will forgive you. But you still have two things left on your neck if you take the life of a person. Three things are involved. The first one, you committed a sin, the right of Allah, haqqullah. You violated that right of Allah to be obeyed. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. All of these instructions, you violated them. So if you make tawbah, sound tawbatan nasuha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is ghaffar. And that's one of the things we learned in the muqaddimah of this book, Al-Kabair. Inna Allaha wasi'ul maghfira. Allah forgives sins. So Allah can forgive you regarding his rights. But you still have two things on your neck. Haqqu ahli al-maqtul. The rights of the family of the man that you killed. The right of the wife. The right of his son. The right of his mother to have his child. You deprive them that right. So they have a right. Two things. They will take one of it. Or three. The first one. They have a right to demand that you should be killed in return. That does not concern your tawbah. They have a right for them to determine and request for qisas, retaliation and revenge. You should be killed. Anna nafsa bin nafs. The second one, they have a right to request for adiya, blood money. They will take it. Just like if it was one of them who committed that murder, all of them too will be responsible to pay for the adiya. May Allah protect us. May Allah never make us have a son or a brother or a father who will take the life of a person such that we all will be held responsible to pay the diya. Just like if the diya is paid regarding one of them, all of them will share it. The same way if one of them committed the offense, all of them will be responsible to pay the diya. May Allah protect us. This one remains. Whether you make tawbah or not, there is haqqu ahli al-maqtul, ahli al-qatil, the family of the person you killed, they have a right. This one remains. Whether you make tawbah or not, don't you see that it is trouble? The third right, haqqu al-qatil, haqqu al-maqtul, the right of the person that was killed himself, that one too is remaining on the day of Qiyamah. There are ahadith. This man will carry his bleeding head on his hand, asking you, hey, ask him, this man, why he killed me? Lima qatalani? Why did this man kill me? And the day of Qiyamah, these kinds of rights will be paid back with good deeds. That is why the son of Adam was warning his brother, La imbasatta ilayya li taqtulani ma ana bi basitin yadiya ilayka li aqtulaka inni akhallaha rabbal alamin inni uridu an tabu'a bi ismi wa ismika fatakuna min ashabin nar wa dhalika jazaa'u adh-dhalimin. This will happen on the day of Qiyamah. He will ask you, why did you kill me? And on the day of Qiyamah, there is no place for naira and kobo, no place for dollar, no place for pound sterling. Diyah cannot be paid on the day of Qiyamah. It is the good deed of the person who had killed, taking the soul of another person, that will be taken and given to that person. Ikhwah, if he does not have good deeds, فَتَبُوَ بِإِثْمِ وَإِثْمِكَ, the sin of the person that you kill will be hauled on you, together with your own sin, فَتَكُونَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. And then that can make you have a scale where your evil deeds will overweigh your good deeds. He didn't have good deeds, so they took his own sins and heaped it on your own head. Fatakuna min ashabina. That can lead a person to Jahannam. Allah said, wa dhalika jaza'u dhalimin. Who is the zalim in reference here? Qatulin nafs. The one who takes the life of a person. Ikhwa, don't try it. Don't make it ever happen from your hand. That one will lead us to the next hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, that's hadith number 11. He said, لا يزال المرء في فسحة من دينه ما لم يتند بدم حرام. لا يزال المرء في فسحة من دينه ما لم يتند بدم حرام. لا يزال المرء في فسحة من دينه. لا يزال المرء, the individual will continue to enjoy fusha, to continue to enjoy freedom. You will continue to enjoy latitude. You committed a sin, you make tawbah, it ends there. You did something, you committed tawbah, you made tawbah, it ends there. You did one thing, you made tawbah, it ends there. Ma lam yatanadda bidamin haram. As long as damun haram, lam yet, he has not gotten soaked up. His hands had not gotten soaked up in damun haram. Taking the life of a person upon haram. Taking the life of a person in a manner that the Sharia has not allowed. Sharia has allowed the government and individuals, yes, there are ways lives can be taken. There are cases where the individual will be, his life will be taken lawfully, such as an nafsu bin nafsi. If a person takes the life of a person, it deserves that his own life should be taken. The second one, as-sayyib zani, a person who is already married in a valid nikah, he now makes zin. It is lawful for us to stone him to death. The third situation, al-murtad, at-tariku li-dinihi, al-mufariku lil-jama'a, a person who abandons Islam. The Prophet said, salatu wassalam, man badala dinahu faqtuluh, whoever abstains and abandons Islam, kill him. The fifth one or the fourth one, a person who comes to contest rulership. We have our affairs, this hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. We have our affairs in the hand of one of us who is our ruler, like the president of a country, like the head of state of a country. He is our president. Everybody is allowed. Everybody has allowed that. Everybody. But he has emerged. Authority is in his hands. Then one or two persons stand up and then properly contest that power with him. They struggle to obtain power by force, whether by a coup or by any other means of, you know, usurping power from him. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, anybody who does this, faqtuluhu ka'inun man kana, anybody who does this, kill him, whomever he may be. So it is from the criminal offense requiring capital punishment. When you have coups and these kinds of usurpation of power from constituted authority. Another thing the Sharia allows, abusing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and waging war against Allah. Waging war against Allah, waging war against the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah mentioned that in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Innama jaza'u alladhina yuharibuna Allah wa rasulahu wa yas'auna fil ardi fasada an yuqattalu. Those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger, wa yas'auna fil ardi fasada, those who take drugs, who spread drugs, will come under this category. Cocaine pushers and things like this. Yas'auna fil ardi fasada. They go on spread evil on the surface of the earth. So these are the kinds of people. The courts judge, this one is vast. The judge who will handle the matter, he will be looking at what a person does if it falls under as-sa'yu fil ardi fasada. As these are people who their actions interprets into a widespread disorder. Some people too can come under this kind of a category in the land of Islam when you have a judge of Sharia, like the heads of a demonstration that took place such that a lot of people lost their lives. They can come under this category. The loss of life caused during a demonstration that some people orchestrated, they can come under those alladhina yas'auna fil ardi fasada. It can lead to capital punishment depending on the judge. So the person will be apprehended and he will be made to face the court, and then the judge will judge appropriately. In these kinds of circumstances, life is taken upon halal. If it is not like this, you kidnap a person, you kill him. You are looking for money, you kill him to make money. Once you do this, you are in trouble. You are in trouble before Allah, and you are in trouble before the servants of Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la yazalu al-mar'u fi fushatin min dinihi. The individual will continue to enjoy latitude in his religion, freedom in his religion. When he commits a sin, he simply makes tawbah. He makes tawbah, he returns to himself. And things like this, ma lam yatanadda bidamin haram, as long as he has not stained his hands upon haram, taking the life of a person upon haram. This hadith occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, and it is a hadith that has been collected by Uqba ibn Amir al-Juhani radiyallahu anhu. All of these go to say that qatlun nafs is kabira min al-kabair. Qatlun nafsi is kabira min al-kabair. The next hadith that Al-Imam al-Zahabi has mentioned to us to make us understand that qatlun nafsi is a serious offense. He said, waqala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا يضرب بعضكم رقاب بعض. لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا. O Muslims, this statement made at Hajjatul Wada, it occurs from the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, and it is one of the biggest evidences that Jarir, he accepted Islam in the Ramadan, the last Ramadan the Prophet made, alayhi salatu wasalam. Jarir accepted Islam. He didn't stay up to 6-7 months in Islam before Islam. While they were at alayhi wasalam, said to Jarir ibn, all the people to keep quiet. The scholars say this is evidence that a learned person who wants to give a speech in a gathering can say, hey, keep quiet. Or he can say to people, tell the people to keep quiet. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Hajjatul Wada, he said to Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, stop sitting there, make the people keep quiet. So the And one of the things the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, when the people went quiet, was that he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, la tarji'u ba'di kuffara. Do not return, O companions. On that occasion, there were over 120,000 people at the gathering. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tarji'u ba'di kuffara. O you Muslims, la tarji'u ba'di kuffara. Don't return to the condition of kuffar. Don't return to the hal, to the situation of kuffar, those who disbelieve in Allah. What in the condition of kuffar was the Prophet prohibiting them? He was prohibiting them something he explained by himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. One of the ways of the kuffar is that yadribu ba'duhum riqaba ba'd. A group of them would go on killing themselves. So he said, la tarji'u ba'di kuffara yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd. Don't return to the way of the people of kufur. And one of the ways of the people of kufur is that yadribu ba'dukum riqaba ba'd. A group of them will be killing another group. Killing was common in the days of Jahiliyyah amongst the people of Kufur. This was what the Prophet was warning the Muslims against. Don't go back to become like that again. Parents killed their children. At that time, they buried the children alive. alive. If you hear some of the stories, ikhwah, wallahi, you will weep. How some parents were tough and harsh, burying their children alive. They don't even want to be congratulated. It used to be said that they would dig the grounds waiting before their wives deliver a baby. And once she was delivering, they took her near the ground that they had opened. Once it was a girl, they pushed the girl in the earth and buried the girl. And those who hear that the man's wife had delivered, they want to greet him that, oh, we heard that you delivered. Yatawara min al-kum. He will be running away, avoiding them. Min su'i ma bushira bihi. Because he thinks that what they want to tell him is evil. They want to tell you an evil over the fact that he gave birth to a baby girl. It was a way of people of Kufr. So if a father and a mother can bury their own child alive, how will the society be? How will killing be in the society? It will be common. If a father and a mother can bury their child alive, then it means that that society is a society that kanu yadribuna ba'du, ba'duhum rikab ba'd. A group of them was burying, killing was rife. I think this is the condition in our own society now. May Allah protect us. لا ترجعوا بعدي كفارا. Do not return after I have gone in the condition of kufar, non-Muslims. What were they doing? يضربوا بعضكم رقاب بعض. A group of them was killing another group. You Muslims, don't turn to become like that. There's a lesson I quickly want to draw from here before we proceed. That is that. Those who say that Islam was spread by the sword. This is the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, telling the people and warning them not to go back to become people who, a group of people is killing another, this one kill another, this one kills. He said, don't do that. Don't return into the ways of the people of Kufr after I have gone. I have stopped that one. When he stopped it, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the man who became to be abused, who became to be insulted, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he had spread his religion upon the sword. The one who actually came to stop one term killing. He is now being accused, alayhi salatu wasalam, by his own enemies and the children of his enemies. May Allah protect us. So it is a prohibited thing in Islam. Make sure that nobody's life left your hand. Ikhwa, avoid it. Don't try it. Don't do anything that will make somebody lose their life from your own hands. We read one more hadith. This time the hadith of Bashir ibn Muhajir, who was reporting from Buraida ibn Abdullah ibn Buraida. Bashir ibn Muhajir, that is hadith number 13. He is reporting from Buraida, Abdullah ibn Buraida, rahimahullah, and his father was a companion, Buraida ibn al-Husayb. Buraida ibn al-Husayb was the companion of this hadith. So Bashir ibn Muhajir and Ibn Buraida. Ibn Buraida is who? Abdullah ibn Buraida. And he is reporting from his father, Abihi, yani an Abihi, Buraida to Ibn al-Husayb al-Aslami. Buraida ibn al-Husayb Al-Aslami Abu Abdullah radiyallahu anhu. He said, radiyallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal. He said, the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam said, in a report, you can add it to it, walladhi nafsi biyadih. Before the Prophet made this statement, he said, walladhi nafsi biyadihi. I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul. La qatlu mu'minin a'zamu inda Allah min zawali dunya. La qatlu al-mu'min. La qatlu mu'minin a'zamu inda Allah. Certainly, taking the life of a person of iman, taking the life of a mu'min, a'zamu inda Allah, is so grievous in the sight of Allah. It is so serious in the sight of Allah, min zawali dunya, from that the entirety of this dunya should perish. that this dunya, look at it, how large the dunya is. Look at the lands, look at the palaces, look at the rivers, look at the gardens, look at the installations, petrol, this, all of this, that all these things go away. Zawalu dunya, that the entirety of this dunya go to oblivion. It is a lesser thing in the sight of Allah. There is something bigger than that. Worse than that is that the life of a Muslim should ever be taken. La qatlu mu'minin a'zamu 'inda Allah min zawali dunya. This is the expression from Buraida ibn al-Husayb. It occurs in Sunan al-Nasa'i. In expression of this hadith, because this hadith has been reported by Buraida ibn al-Husayb, it was also reported by Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. It was also reported by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. It was also reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. It was also reported by Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. It was also reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. It was also reported by Uqba ibn Amir in al-Juhani. Why are we saying this reported it? So that we know that it was something that was common amongst the companions. They knew, they heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that repeatedly he was saying that la zawalu dunya ahwan wa lallah, that the entire of this dunya be destroyed. Ahwan wa lallah, it is easier, it is simpler in the sight of Allah, min qatli rajulin muslimin bighayri haqqin. It is simpler in the sight of Allah that the entirety of this world goes into a destruction than that the life of one Muslim be taken away bighayri haqqin, without right. Do not take the life of a Muslim, O people. Do not take the life of a person of Iman. Allah hates it. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah hates that the life of a person is taken. Illa bilhaq, except when the rights of that is deserving. And we're giving up the circumstances when it may be lawful that the life of a person be taken. Of course, that will also be the duty of constituted authority. And nafsu bin nafsi, as-sayyibu zani, al-murtad, and all others. We have mentioned them as we discuss these issues. Bi-idhnillah, we'll be coming back to these issues to complete the rest of the ahadith, where Al-Imam al-Zahabi made us understand that qatlu nafs is a big sin from the kabair. Anyone who wants to enter Al-Jannah, there is a condition to it. What is the condition? In tajtanibu kabair ma tunhaw, if you avoid kabair, from the things that Allah has prohibited you, nukaffir ankum sayyi'atikum wa nudkhilukum mudkhalan karima. Anybody who wants to enter Al-Jannah must avoid kabair. So anybody who wants to enter Al-Jannah must avoid qatlu nafs, taking the life of a person. It's not just fasting in Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of forgiveness. Yes, you must avoid these evils. You must avoid shirk. You must also that you have killed and the right of his family. These two rights are still waiting for you. So you can see qatlu nafs is not just like I have made tawbah. It does not end there. May Allah protect us from this evil. We had read hadith where the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, la yazal al-mar'u fi fushatin min dinihi ma lam yata nadda, as long as lam yata nadda bidamin haram. He has not gotten his hands soiled with the life of a person. May Allah protect us from this evil and never ever make us a person who will be unfortunate to have the life of a person taken from his hands. May Allah protect us from this. I think we can stop here today, bi-idhnillah. and continue in class tomorrow, bi'ithnillah, at the same time. These classes will be holding on Mondays, on Wednesdays, on Thursdays and Fridays, 4 days in a week. Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. Mondays to Fridays except Tuesdays, because on Tuesdays in the mornings we will be reading Ad-Da'u Wad-Dawa. May Allah make us understand better and prohibit us, never make us from the people of Kaba'ir. Abu Abdurrahman.
Salawatullahi alaykum wa shakam.
Ameen, ameen wa iyaakum.
And the first question here is, Salaam alaikum. What if the one who was killed attacked by the killer first, and the killer was only defending himself?
We have discussed that. If it's about self-defense, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us, is that if a person comes and says, give me your wealth, he said, don't give him. He said, if he fights you, he said, fight him. If he attempts to kill you, he said, you attempt to do that too. It is from the aspects of jihad. If he kills you, you become a martyr. And if you kill him, you don't have a blood on your neck. So if it is upon self-defense, but self-defense has rules, brothers. It must be clear that that person you killed in so-called self-defense was really in the position to be able to kill you. The one you killed in self-defense must really be in the position to really be able to kill you. Somebody just coming towards you, not holding anything with which it is likely to be able to kill you, and you open fire at him, it may not satisfy the conditions of self-defense. Self-defense is when in the situation that it is actually true that the person against whom you are defending yourself is actually able to carry out killing you. Then if you kill him in the circumstance, there is no blame be in Allah. I hope that that is clear. I mean.
Another question is, what about killing by mistake, like a car accident?
If a person is killed by the mistake, the first thing is that you will not run away. You will take the dead person to the family of the person of the deceased. The best of that is that you will pay a dia. You pay the blood money if they insist. You pay the blood money if they insist, and they may forgive you. I have seen a case like that. The ustaz in madrasa was beating a young boy for coming late. He flogged him number 1, 2, 3, 4. By the 7th or 8th, the boy fell down and died. Ustaz has killed a student. That's why I encourage and I warn teachers in madaris, be careful. You don't know when Allah has written for the life of a child to be taken away by the angels of death. Don't let it be when you are manhandling another person's son or daughter. May Allah protect us. That boy became dead because he was being flogged by the ustaz for coming late to the masjid. Cane do not kill people. A cane does not kill in itself. If a person wants to kill, he needs a knife or a sword. So he cannot be ruled to have killed deliberately, because what he was using does not kill. And in the circumstance, they don't kill. They don't kill because you came late to school. So all the circumstances show that it happened by mistake. That is what I was trying to prove. It was a mistake. It is clear. This is a clear mistake. So the parents of the boy, they forgave the teacher, but the teacher had to fast. He had to fast 60 fasts. And in this case, there is no breaking the fast. The kafara, he has to fast 60 whole days. 60 days, non-stop. After that time, I know that ustaz, it was when I was in the north in Kaduna, I know the ustaz, he became one of the most gentle people in the madrasa. In fact, if anybody did anything, they said flog him, he would say, please don't let me flog the boy. So if a person happens to kill a person by mistake, as it happens during car accidents and the like of that, it may be resolved by paying dia. If they forgive you, then you fast 60 fasts non-stop. May Allah protect us. That's why when we read the hadith that la yazalu al-mar'u fi fushatin min dinihi ma lam yusib daman haraman, the individual will begin to, will continue to be upon freedom in his religion as far as the life of a person has not come out of your hands. If the life of a person comes out of your hand and you need to pay dia, then you know what it means. You'll be observing salah and you'll be thinking about it. Because in the communities where this must be done, like where Sharia upholds, if you fail to pay the dia, then they can determine that your life too should be taken. May Allah protect all of us. Ameen wa iyyakum wa Abdul Rahman.
Other question here, and not on healing.
There's a question on Ramadan about Abdul Rahman. Someone was fasting Ramadan, but he did not find the opportunity to eat sahur.
Yes.
If you are in this condition, if you had intended fasting before you slept, in the night when you slept, you decided that inshallah, if I wake up tomorrow, I will fast. Your fast is valid. You had decided before you slept, inshallah, if I wake up tomorrow, I will fast. But by the time you woke up, it was already Fajr. Inshallah, your fast is valid. But the question is, I'm a person, the person said he is a person who is so weak, he cannot continue with the fasting. You will continue if you want. It is not lawful for you to eat in the afternoon of Ramadan. You can't deliberately break the fast. So if you say you can't continue, we ask, because of what? Is it because you are sick? If you are sick, you don't have a problem. You can break your fast and fast on another day if it is sickness. If it is that you are upon a journey, traveling, you are afraid of weakness, you are allowed. There is a leeway the scholars have created again. Those who are upon very strenuous jobs. Very strenuous jobs. The scholars say they fall under alladhina yutikunahu. They are able to fast, like those who drill telecommunication lines. Have you seen these young brothers who are digging telecommunication lines, cables? They dig the lines for the cables. Have you seen them doing that job? Or those who dig the earth so that they can have petrol lines sunk in the earth? Their own is even less, because in most of the cases they employ machines. But the telecommunications industry, they use young boys to dig the ground. Those who do a job like this, fasting will be very difficult for them. They have a duty to look for another job that is less strenuous in the month of Ramadan. But upon not finding of alladhina yutikunahu, and in their own circumstance, it is fidya that they will pay. I hope that it is clear. The brother who is asking this question, if your condition is one of illness, you have a freedom. Fa'iddatumin ayyamin ukhra. If it's a condition of journeying, you have a choice. Fa'iddatumin ayyamin ukhra. If your job is a job of digging the ground to lay cables, we know those jobs. In that case, fafidiyatun ta'amu miskin. I hope that it is clear, bi'idhnillah. Ameen wa iyyakum Aba Abdul Rahman.
Another question there is it lawful to have more than one imam leading a day's tarawih?
Is it lawful to have more than one imam leading tarawih? Yes, it is lawful. It is lawful, inshallah. You can have more than one imam leading the tarawih, inshallah. It is lawful, bi'idhnillah. Maybe one of them leads the first four rak'at, another one leads another four rak'at, another one leads three rak'at, making 11 rak'at. Or the first one will lead six rak'at, and the second one will lead how many rak'at? Five rak'at. In all of these cases, inshallah, it is lawful. Naam, Abdul Rahman. I mean, can we call it a day after your next question?
No,
the
yes,
time
sir.
Is already far spent.
What if the accident wasn't someone's fault but victims? Will you see PG?
That one will be determined by the courts, Abdul Rahman. It's not just an arbitrary matter. In the case of DIA and all of these, proper investigation will be made and the court will make a declaration. The judge will judge appropriately whether the person was at fault or not. I hope that that is clear about Rahman.
No, Mr. Sheikha.
Shall we call it a day today?
No, Mr. Sheikha.
بإذن الله we come back to class tomorrow after صلاة العصر. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Don't forget to make dua, 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 especially at the time of iftar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.